Few people can understand, and still fewer ever experience, what it's like to live in the path of a lava flow. The people of Pahoa have lived through that very rare experience when a lava flow cut off access to the remote Hawaii Island community. Their story is told in a new documentary coming to the Hawaii International Film Festival called Aloha from Lava Land. Phyllis Payson is its co-director, editor, and cinematographer. He's with us in our studio. Hi, Phil. Thanks
Hello,
for coming
Chris.
In.
Thanks for having me in. I'm excited to talk about the film today.
What made you want to make this film?
My relationship with the film was inspired by my roots in the community, and I was feeling a lot of the same reaction that so many other residents were feeling, of just this uncertain panic that was coming in, and really frustrated with the news coverage that was coming into our area and just blowing it out of proportion and sensationalizing the whole affair. And what we were finding out when we started talking to people on the streets, people were very resigned to living in that uncertainty and very comfortable with, you know, Pele's intention, the personification of the lava flow, and what her intention were with the community. And, you know, people saying that she's just cleaning her house and getting the people out of the area that aren't supposed to be there. And, you know, Pahoa is a very hard place to live, and you have to have that right kind of mentality to put up with the elemental forces.
So you lived there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We moved out to Big Island in the summer of 2013, and shortly after that, we purchased a house and started laying down roots. And about a month after we purchased our house, the lava started flowing straight for town, putting our whole future in jeopardy. And, you know, we were questioning some of our decisions. But we stood our ground and really embraced the support of our community.
But you came late to that consciousness that you find in Big Island communities about
inspired by the sense
of fatalism about, as you said, Pele and her intentions, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I had come out from New York City, so just total 180 change of lifestyle, change of pace.
Yeah, no,
but there is a sincerity in that area, and I was really inspired by that. And, you know, something my partner Zoe and I always talk about is that we've never felt such a strong and tangible connection, like, to the physical land itself like we do over on Big Island in the Pahoa area. And just being able to grow our own food and live off our land and share produce with our neighbors and just really partake living with our community in such a sincere and honest way. So
When you and your neighbors faced this sort of shared challenge of the approaching volcano, did you feel that it knit the community together?
It did. It did. We had an initial surge of people kind of vacating the area, taking up all their possessions and just abandoning their houses. But the people who stayed really banded together and developed a network over who had what resources, who was growing food, who had papayas, who had ice, and really played off of each other to make it work and make it sustainable. And sustainability is such a focus of the film and what our community is all about. And the lava flow really acted as like a kickstarting effort to bring that into the mainstream consciousness out there and figure out how the people can work together to survive. And,
you know, what you're describing really reminds me. I covered Kalapana as a news photographer, and that same spirit was abroad in Kalapana. Eventually, it didn't do any good.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the prominent resident community members that we do talk about or talk with in the film is Samuel Kalihimohu, who is the patriarch of the family down in Kalapana, the Uncle Robert's family. And he reflects on that time period and helping his mother move their house down the street and really just shares some inspiring insights on what aloha means to the people down there and how it is a way of life. And
'cause he went through it twice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and continuing to go through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they persevere.
The whole, you know, I wonder if you'd run into that kind of fatalism anywhere else but Hawaii, given the connection, the spiritual connection to the volcano. I wonder if other volcano-affected parts of the world have something similar.
Well, I think it's not necessarily dependent on living at the face of a volcano, but living in an uncertain time period. And like, mm-hmm. we live in a very uncertain time period, and mm-hmm. the way that we found that we got through it was relying on our neighbors and living with harmony and community, and you can depend on each other, and your neighbors, your friends, your family, that is your strongest asset to really play to your advantage and help yourself.
You mentioned the way the news coverage of Pahoa worked out, and of course there is a tendency in day-to-day news coverage to say Big Island community threatened by mm-hmm. imminent lava flow, people leaving their homes, and people were leaving their homes.
They were, yes.
So it's not entirely sensationalized. I mean, it's a serious
thing. No, but they were coming in, and they were standing on Pahoa Main Street, and they were just crossing their fingers that they were going to get some shots of like a house burning down or a shop front burning down or the lava crossing the road. Mm-hmm. But that's not the nature of the flow, so to say. You know, it'll inch forward every day, and yeah. the geological services are out there observing and reporting and learning how they can more effectively track the flow and predict where it's going to go. But you have these news people just out there kind of riling everybody up and just making matters a little more difficult on a day-to-day basis. Like I had my mother calling me up every day and it's just like, oh, when are you gonna leave? What's going on? You know, all these broadcast networks are talking about it and how it's so dangerous to be out there and how is the smoke affecting you? And it's things that you learn to deal with. You learn to install filtration systems and, you know, pay attention to the wind direction.
Well, one of the things that's always, you know, one of the challenges of news coverage is how to cover a story without affecting the mm-hmm. story. It sounds as if the media were of limited effectiveness.
They were ruffling the feathers of some of the locals out there, for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting to me that your film did not take the path of, you know, making the subject as sexy as possible. But
yeah, our whole guiding factor from the beginning was telling the story from the inside out. And our executive producer, Robert Kent, was the one who brought our team together and recognized all of our strengths and was really that guiding voice and just like, things aren't burning down. Like, we are here, we are present, we are doing this together. And we wanted to focus on the sustainable efforts that our community is doing and preaching that lifestyle and showing that mentality and how it can translate to the rest of the world.
So there are lessons in the Pahoa experience that one could take to any community.
Yeah, universal, yeah.
Which is always what a good filmmaker strives for, right?
Yeah, we have been very successful in appealing to our Hawaii audience, and people have always praising it, and it's our love letter to Puna for sure. But I think it has a lot to offer for people beyond that community and on the mainland and other areas. And it's great to watch the people of Puna. We have such a vivid cast of characters out there.
You still got your house?
We do, yeah. Our house was unaffected. The flow only took out one house. It was unlived in at the time, but it's the only structure that was damaged during the flow, and the flow stopped about a quarter mile away from the road.
And lucky break.
Yeah, Pahoa is being built up as we speak, and it's becoming a destination of sorts.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
Yeah, and the film will be available for purchase starting tomorrow, and on alohafromlavaland.com you can rent and purchase the film, and on November 15th it'll be available on Amazon.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Phil Payson is the director of Aloha from Lavaland, which documents the Hawaii island town of Pahoa's close encounter with a lower Puna lava flow in 2014. The film will premiere at the 37th Hawaii International Film Festival beginning this week.